Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Good to see each and every one of you. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. One of the things we do almost every single week is we welcome those who are going to be listening to our podcast and listening to the message later on this week or later on today. So let's give our online audience a big hand. Come on, shout for them so they can hear you on the microphone. We love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very, 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 very much. Well, it is a great privilege and honor to have each and every one of you in service with us this morning. Especially grateful to have my brother and sister-in-law and his family all the way from Houston, Texas, here. I had to take my Brian brother stories out of the message today, so you'll get him another time, all right, when he's not here. No, I'm just kidding. There weren't any today. Today is the key word. I just wanted to let you know a couple of things. First of all, December 2nd, everybody say December 2nd, 2 weeks from today, where it's going to be a really important day for us as a church. We're just going to kind of have Vision Sunday. We're going to tack it on to the last week of Blessed Life. So if you consider the Lifeway your home church, I want you to be here on December 2nd. We're going to just be talking about what God is going to be doing in our future and for 2019. And then also 2 weeks after that, so 4 weeks from today, December 16th, just wanted to drop it in your ear. You're going to hear a little bit more about this next week. But on December 16th, every year, we take what we call a legacy offering, and that is just we've just blessed God out of our abundance, and so that's just an offering that we give above and beyond what we regularly do, beyond our tithe and our offering. And so just wanted to let you know that. I didn't want to give you like a week notice and you're like, man, I wish you'd have told me something about it. So that'll be happening on Sunday, December 16th. And then one last thing, wanted to let you know that the ladies, our life groups are sponsoring a ladies event on December 1st. And so, yeah, and that's going to be a craft event at HQ. And so I know an email went out about that. So ladies, if you didn't respond to the email and want to go, make sure you do that. You can register right through the email. There's a link, and that way we know how many to plan for. It's going to be a craft event. It's going to be a great time. If you have never given us your email and you're interested in going, Liana, who is just up here a minute ago, she is the one that's coordinating this event, so you can see her after service, and she'll get you the details on how to come. All right, everybody say good. All right, here we go. So a college student sat down at a final exam that they were completely unprepared for. Anybody here ever been unprepared for an exam before? Yeah, I think probably all of us at one point or another. And the test consisted of 80 multiple choice questions, and because they hadn't studied, they had no idea what it was about, they decided to play the game of probability. Has anybody ever played the game of probability taking a test here before? And so what they said is, well, if I guess around, I'm probably going to get them all wrong. I'm just going to guess the letter A for every single answer. Anybody here ever done that before? A few teachers are nodding their head like, I've seen that before, right? And so the following day, the professor asked the student to stay after class and asked the student, man, is everything okay? And to which the student responded kind of dumbly, like students can respond, sure, why would you ask a question like that? And so the professor proceeded to hand over the test from the day before, which was covered with red marks and had a large F, a fail, written right at the top. And the professor went on to ask the student, can you explain to me why you chose the letter A for every single answer on the test? Without skipping a beat, the student replied, well, I've always wanted to be a straight A student. Come on. Come on, how many of you would like to? That's the only way you're ever going to be a straight A student, right? All the teachers groaned here. We've got several of them in the room this morning. Today we're going to continue our Blessed Life series, and we're going to talk about the blessed test. Everybody say the blessed test. And so my goal today is to help prepare you to take and to pass the blessed test. If you've got your in your service guide, there's a sermon outline. I encourage you to follow it along with us. There's some places that you can fill in the blanks. But it says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, it says, teach those who are rich, everybody say rich, in this world, not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Watch this. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all. Everybody say all. All we need for our enjoyment. Verse 18, tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. And if you're anything like me, it's so easy to read this passage and think, well, that wasn't really written for me, right? That's for people like Oprah, right? People like Bill Gates and Mark Cuban. I'm not rich. But I want you to understand, in all actuality, this scripture is actually written to each and every one of us in this room. We are all rich in this present world. Let me take a few moments and prove it to you this morning. Listen to this. About half of the people alive today, half of the population in the world, over 3.5 billion people live on $2 a day or less. Only 3% of people in the entire world own a vehicle. Many of us in this room have two vehicles or even more in our family. And not only do we own vehicles, but most of us have barns for them and the rest of the stuff that we can't fit into the closets and pantries and in the basement of our homes. We'll wake up on a Sunday morning and wonder what to, you know, try to get ready for church. And we'll go, man, what should I wear? And we'll open up the closet. And what do we say? We're like, I've got nothing to wear, but the closet is so stuffed full you can't get another hanger in there with something else. Listen to this. In 2011, Americans, now this is already 7 years ago, spent $11 billion on coffee. $16 billion on chocolate. $1.4 billion on over-the-counter teeth whiteners. $17 billion on video games. $25.4 billion on professional sports. This one blows my mind. 7 years ago, Americans spent $69.5 billion on their pets. While half the world lives on $730 a year or less. And these crazy statistics on what we Americans buy. I tried to give a wide range of things, so I think I hit everybody in the room here today. So when you consider that, how many of you would actually rethink that thought and say, you know what? I guess I am pretty rich. Is there anybody here who would raise their hand and say yes? Come on. Come on, Mom. We're a participating church. All right. Most of us would say that. And here's what I hope that you'll understand as we begin to unpack this message today about the blessed test. God is testing you. Come on, tell your neighbor, God is testing me. Every time he increases, every time he gives a blessing, every time you get a paycheck, he wants to know, the test is, are you going to be faithful? And here's the question, the first blank in your outline that we need to ask ourselves is, will I love and trust money, or will I love and trust God? Will I love and trust money, or will I love and trust God? Because God wants to know, will your trust be in the things of this world and material things, or will it be in him? In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, this is what Jesus said. We referenced this verse last week. If you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with great responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And so throughout this series, we were talking about, how do I live the blessed life? How do I live with the riches of heaven? And as I said last week, God is testing you to see that if you can be trusted to live a truly blessed life. And here's the thing. God knows that for most of us in this room, that money and things are the biggest competitor for our hearts. And here's what I want you to understand this morning. There is, when it comes to money, money in and of itself is really amoral. It means that it's not really good and it's not really evil. Here's where the problem comes in. It's the love and the trust of money. It's loving money instead of trusting God. That's where we get into trouble, because at that point what happens is our money becomes a counterfeit God. And here's what I want you to understand, is that money promises what only God can provide. It's a counterfeit savior. I want to share with you four false ideas, four lies that money promises us. Number one, the next blank in your outline, money promises security. Promises security. We've all thought that, you know what, if I just get that raise, if I just get a little bit more, just 4% more, and then we'll be fine, and then we'll be secure, and we won't have to worry. And then what happens? 6 months later, right there, we just need a little bit more. But I want you to hear me this morning. Only God can provide that security that we're looking for. You can have $2 million in your bank account right now, but if this week, God forbid, you discover that your child or your spouse has stage 4 cancer, you will quickly come to realize that all of the money in the world won't cure your loved one and will not make you secure. So money promises security, but it's a false hope. Number two, money promises freedom. If you have more, you'll be free. How many of you are, man, if I could just get a little bit more money, man, we could take that vacation. We could travel the world and go wherever. We'd be truly free, right? But we know, even though we think this, we know intellectually that this isn't true, because we've all seen it. Some of the wealthiest people in the world, they are bound by chains of loneliness and depression and addiction and anxiety. They've accumulated everything that the world has to offer. They party. They live it up. They live the high life, and they're free to do anything they want, but still they're empty. It's a lie. Number three, money promises power. If you have enough, you'll be powerful. But since the beginning of time, kings and kingdoms have fallen. Nations have rose up and nations have fallen down. Their wealth couldn't save them or keep them in power forever. Here's the fourth thing. Number four, money promises significance. If you have enough, you'll be important. But listen, true significance is only found through our identity in Jesus Christ. And so this morning, God is asking, will you love and trust money, or will you love and trust me? This is what Jesus said in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you will love the other. You will be devoted to one and you will despise the other. Watch this. You cannot serve both God and money. I find it really interesting as I read that verse, because Jesus could have said anything there. He could have said, you can't serve God in your job, or God in your house, or God in power, or God in your spouse. But Jesus instructed us to put money in its proper place, because it is a counterfeit God that causes so many of us to struggle and have difficulties in our walk with Him. And so when it comes to our finances, God is testing us. It's the blessed test. And as followers of Jesus, we should all be striving for, and we should be promising, I will give God the first and best so that He can bless the rest. I will give God my first and blessed so that He can bless the rest. And so today what I want to do is I want to share a couple of things that will help you with the blessed test. How many of you want to pass the blessed test? Anybody here? All right, I think a lot of us here. So I'm going to start by teaching a little bit about the tithe. And so at the onset, I want you to understand that that tithing is a test. I'll prove that to you in a little bit in Scripture, but there are some misconceptions and differing opinions in Christianity when it comes to tithing. And in fact, there are some of you, you're brand new in church, you've never even heard the word before. And so my goal here this morning is I don't want anyone to walk out of this room and feel guilty, but what I do want to do is simply share God's plan for blessing your life, because we all want to live a blessed life. And as we taught last week, if you missed last Sunday's message, you can go on the podcast and listen to it, but blessing is unlocked through our generosity. And God has a plan. He's got a blueprint that is found throughout the Scriptures about how we should manage our finances. And so this is what we're going to look at today. Now, this is what Moses said about the tithe. We're going to go to the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. It says, "A tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord." And so by definition, I want you to understand this word tithe. It's not very complicated. A tithe simply is one-tenth or 10%. So a tithe of what I earn belongs and is holy to the Lord. And so you might be sitting here and anybody knows some like really technical people in their life. Shiloh would say, "Andrew, you just always have to know the answer. You're so technical." Anybody have anyone in their family? They're just technical, right? And so if you're sitting here and you're technical, you read through this verse, tithing is not really giving. It's simply returning what belongs to God. Notice the Bible doesn't say give the tithe. It says bring the tithe to the storehouse. So we don't give tithes, and I understand you may have grown up in a church and that's the language they use. One other word I'm going to share with you is even worse than that. We definitely don't pay tithes. We don't give tithes. We don't pay tithes. We bring them to God. In fact, watch how God frames the tithe in Malachi. This is a very significant passage. This is a powerful concept. Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 says, "Will man rob God?" Whoa, I read something like that. Well, time out. I don't want to rob God. Will man rob God? Watch this. It says, "Yet you are robbing me." But then you say, "Wait, time out, God. How have we robbed you?" Watch this. "In tithes and contributions." Another translation says, "In tithes and offerings." And so he says to his people who are not returning the first, "You are not living the blessed life right now." In fact, they're living quite the opposite. Watch what it says. Verse 9, watch this. "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." And so as a people, the nation of Israel was facing the consequences of not following God's financial plan. And so often I'll have people that'll want to come in and talk with me and they're struggling in their finances. And you know, every time the first question that I'm going to ask is, "Are you tithing? Are you following God's financial plan?" Because guess what? If they're not allowing God the opportunity to bless them. They've closed the door on the ability to have and to live a blessed life. So you might be sitting here, and I know this isn't the most favorite, you know, message today. I'm sure no one's going to be jumping up and down and screaming amen today. But listen, if you don't tithe, I want you to hear me. All right, I'm not saying that you're a bad person. All right, I'm not even saying that you're going to go to hell if you don't tithe. Listen, chances are likely that some of you have never even heard this before. But the reason that I'm teaching this morning is because I want to help each of you move into this blessed life that God has for us. Because some of us financially, we are so stressed out, we can't figure out where we're going to go next. It's like no matter what happens, the news gets worse and worse, and we get further and further and further and further behind. And we're like, "God, I love you, God." And listen, God has a plan for us. And in his plan, there is freedom. And so from our marriage, to our relationships, to our parenting, to our character, even our careers, and especially our finances. Listen, if we're going to live a blessed life, we have to submit everything to God's plan. So you might be thinking here and say, "Well, this robbing God talk is pretty strong language. I mean, Pastor Andrew, that's really harsh. I know." All right, so make a deal with me. I don't want anyone to leave here this morning and be angry with me, okay? You can leave. You can be mad at the Bible, All right, you can leave and even be mad at God if that's what you want to do, but don't get mad at me. Listen, there are times in my life that I've not been real happy about some of the stuff I read in this book. Come on, can we just be real here? Anybody read some stuff in here and say, man, I sure wish it didn't say that, right? There are things that God's asked me to do in his word, like, God, why do I have to love my enemy? I just want to throat punch somebody right now. Would you just look up for a second? Boom, just like hit him right there in the Adam's apple. Yeah, I've thought that before. You probably want to find a new church after that. But I want you to hear me. Everything that God asks of us in this book is because he wants something better for us. So many of us have bought into a worldly system in so many areas. And listen, these aren't restrictions. This is because God wants us to live an abundant life. This word says, cast your cares on him. Because he'll carry it for you. What a deal. The word says, repent and be baptized. God says, I'm going to take your hot mess. And I'm going to give you a fresh start. Forgive others, because guess what? If you walk around with unforgiveness in your heart, you will literally kill yourself. And when it comes to our finances, it's not any different. He wants something for us. Listen, I want you to hear me. If you hear anything I say today, I want you to hear this. God doesn't need anything from any of us in this room. The scripture actually tells us the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Whether we want to agree with that or acknowledge it, it's the truth. And so everything that we've been given, every single thing that we have, it comes from him. And he just wants us to steward some of it to make an eternal difference. Years ago, I had a little game that I would play with my oldest son, Josiah. He's now almost 21 years old. But when he got to the size that a Happy Meal would no longer fill him up. How many parents remember? That's a sad day when you can't buy that $2.30 Happy Meal anymore, right? You're just like, gosh, that's going to be another $3 every time we go out to eat, right? So I remember the first time, never forget it, he ordered an adult's 10-piece meal. And for some god-awful reason, I actually wanted to eat one of those nuggets. And so I said to him, I said, Josiah, give me a nugget. And he said, no, Dad, these are mine. You know, kind of like those of you that are any Napoleon Dynamite fans, get your own tots, you know. And I said, no, I need a nugget. And he said, no, these are mine. And so I saw this teaching moment. I said, listen, what you need to understand is that I, your father, provided the food. I gave those nuggets to you, and I want 10% back to the house. Return unto me the tithe of the nuggets, one nugget. Listen, boy, I can see to it that you'll never eat another nugget again until you turn 18. Or you can give me one, and I'll open the windows of heaven and pour out so many nuggets you'll never be able to eat them all. Thus saith Dad. Here's what I want you to understand. When we bring the tithe, when I bring the tithe back to God, I'm simply returning what he's already given to me. You and I were called to be stewards. So tithe is really simple. It's 10% of what I earn. By definition, anything less than that is not a tithe. And so when you learn and start living by this principle, this is what I want to tell you. And there's so many people you can talk to in this room that have seen God provide miracle after miracle after miracle. There are so many incredible things that happen. So I want to share three of them with you this morning. Three blessings of the tithe. Three blessings of the tithe. Here's the first one. Number one, the tithe provides for God's work through his church. The tithe provides for God's work through his church. Malachi 3:10, back to the scripture we were reading earlier. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse. The storehouse is the Old Testament picture of the New Testament church. And so as you return the tithe, you are able to be fed spiritually, watch this, as well as make an eternal impact in other people's lives. And so this is what I want you to understand here. When you walk into Nathan Hale School and we meet at the Lifeway meets here at this school, listen, this church, the local church, is the epicenter of God's activity in the world. Let me say it another way. The local church is the hope of the world. And so because of the tithe, the Lifeway is able to serve the purpose of God in this community. And so the church has always been God's plan to reach the world. And listen, I love what God is doing through this church. Has anybody been blessed by what's happened here in this church? In fact, I went back and I looked at some of the numbers this week. Since we've launched, there have been over 858 times when people have committed or recommitted their lives to follow Jesus. We've had 63 people go public with their faith and make the decision to be water baptized. Amen. That's something to be excited about. Through the tithe, we've been able to help people facing eviction. We've been able to provide hurricane relief to people struggling in other parts of the country. We've helped to plant over 400 churches across America. We've supported missionaries in Africa and Israel and the Middle East. Because of the tithe, we're supporting local food banks and homeless shelters and Christian education and drug and alcohol addiction recovery centers. This year alone, as a church, we strive to be generous. We have been blessed to be able to give away $28,000 to various missions endeavors around the world. And I want you to understand, all of this is possible because of those of you who follow God's financial plan. They bring their tithe to the local storehouse, which in this case is the Lifeway. So bring the full tithe, going back to the scripture, into the storehouse. Watch this, that there may be food. Everybody say food. Everybody likes food, right? In my house. So that's what's happening here today. Many of you have brought your tithe into the house of God so that there's spiritual food inside of these walls for us to eat. Now, for a majority of us in this room, the Lifeway is the number one source of spiritual nourishment in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I love the spiritual food that we get here at the Lifeway. I mean, we have got an incredible Kids Way team. They're rocking it out right now. In fact, some of you are off this week, but man, our kids team is amazing. They are investing too in reaching our children, teaching them about Jesus Christ. Our band, our production, our first impressions, our hospitality team with the fresh donuts and warm coffee every Sunday, our life group facilitators, they all work so hard. Listen, there is some really great spiritual food being served here at the Lifeway. And I know that this is really direct, but listen, there is an expense for what you experience when you come to church here. And we can only meet those expenses when we follow God's plan and when we tithe. And so the place where we receive our spiritual food is the place that we should bring our tithes. So it's something as a church. Churches aren't mandated to tithe, but we just believe this church will never give less than 10% away. That's just what we believe. Shyla and I, we bring a minimum of 10% everything that we earn to the Lifeway. It's the first thing that leaves our account on payday. So the tithe provides for the work of God through His church. Everybody said amen. All right, the second thing, if you're taking notes, number two is the tithe teaches me to put God first. Teaches me to put God first. Deuteronomy 14:23 in today's Living Bible says it this way. The purpose of the tithe is to teach me, it's our second point, is to teach me to put God first. Listen, there isn't a more tangible indicator of God's place in our lives than how we handle our finances. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Some of you may have come in this morning, and I know we've got some guests here. This isn't a normal message for us, just happens to be, but I believe God ordains everything here. But listen, some of you may have walked in and said, man, I knew I should have stayed home today. Are you telling me 10%? Are you crazy, Pastor? You have no idea. Don't you realize that if I were to tithe, if I brought 10%, that I'd have to rearrange and reprioritize everything? Yes! That's exactly the reason that God wants us to do this, to make sure that our priorities are in alignment with His. I may have to eliminate eating out every day for lunch, or maybe drinking a $5, you know, latte, you know, every single morning in order to be able to put God first. I may have to choose a more inexpensive tier for my cable TV package to put God first. I may drive my car 6 years instead of getting a new one every 3 years in order to put God first. Listen, we have this distinct honor and privilege of rearranging our lives around God and things that have eternal value and things that will last forever. So the tithe, first, it provides for the work of God through His church. Secondly, it teaches me to put God first. Here's the last one. Number three, the tithe increases my faith in God. It increases my faith in God. Those of you that are tithers, you understand this. In fact, some of you have been nodding at me as I preach this because you've done the math and it doesn't make sense. But nonetheless, you've tried it. And you found this fact to be true. It's not a fill in the blank in your outline, but I encourage you to write this down. Listen, 90% with the blessing of God goes further than 100% without His blessing. And so the tithe teaches us to trust God in it, and it builds our faith in Him. And here's what's amazing. Not only is God testing us, remember this message, the blessed test, but this is the only place in Scripture that you'll find this, that God challenges us to test Him back. God says, I'm going to give you a chance to test me so you can see just how good I am. Let's go back to Malachi. We've been reading through it. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And watch this. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing. Remember, we're talking about a blessed life. A blessing until there is no more need. How many of you love to be blessed till there's no more need, right? I think all of us would say yes. Now watch this. But it doesn't stop there. Watch what will happen. Verse 11, it says, I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 12, then all nations, means everybody, will look upon you and they'll say, man, you are so blessed, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. God is saying in this passage, put me to the test. If you tithe, I will bless you, and I will bless you until there is no more need. In the last year, I've had so many of you come up and talk to me. I mean, I hope I'm not embarrassing you, but I want to say some names here. So if you're struggling with this, I want you to talk to some people. Scott and Linda McLean, Karen McLean, Costanzo and Tiffany Venegas. I mean, there are people where God has done so many incredible things. The Beardemans, that God has done so many incredible things in their life because they've been faithful to the tithe, and God has just blessed them, and he's put things around them. The Marquezes could tell you story after story of all the years that they've spent in ministry when they put God first, even when it made no sense. God, I don't know how that there isn't enough dollars. I'm just going to put you first. God has come through every single time. Now, I want you to be very clear this morning. What I'm not saying is that if you tithe, you're going to get a new fill in the blank, whatever you think that you want right now. I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. But what I will tell you is that when you honor God, when you follow His plan, God will prove Himself faithful. That's what I want you to hear. He says, test me. Try me. This is the blessed test. I know in my life, something that Shiloh and I have always done ever since we've been married, it's something my dad taught me when I was a young kid. I've always tithed. And I can tell you, there were jobs that I received that I had no business getting. I worked at a Fortune 500 company. I was managing people with degrees. I dropped out of college after 5 weeks. Listen, this is God's blessing on our lives. He will bless us and He will keep us. And it's not just about finances. It's the protection and it's healing and it's good relationships in our lives. He will bless us in every way. Now, some of you that are Bible scholars, maybe you've studied this. You might be thinking, well, wait, time out, Andrew. Time out. The tithe is under the law. The tithe is Old Testament. We don't live under the law anymore. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. The tithe actually predated the law. In fact, Abraham tithed to Melchizedek 400 years before the law was ever instituted. In fact, if you look in your notes, I'm not going to read the whole scripture, but it's printed out in there. Matthew 23:23, in that verse of scripture, Jesus clearly affirms the tithe. And while the tithe as law has gone away, listen, I believe that the tithe as a principle to live by is here to stay. And this is why I believe that, because it's interesting that when you read through the New Testament, the standard for everything was raised in the New Testament compared to the Old. The Old Testament taught, do not murder. But in the New Testament, the bar was raised and we were commanded not to hate. What happened? The standard went up. In the Old Testament, right, it was in the Ten Commandments that said, thou shalt not, what, commit adultery. But Jesus said in the New Testament, don't lust, because if you've lusted, if you've looked at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. What happened? The standard went up. The Old Testament instructed the people to tithe, but listen, in the early church, as we read about in the book of Acts, the people shared everything that they had to help and serve one another. Some even sold everything they had. They sold their homes and they gave it to the church. Listen, they gave way more than the tithe. There were people in the early church that even gave their lives. They offered their lives up to be martyrs for the cause of Christ. So the standard goes up. And tithing is so important because it breaks the grip. It breaks the grip of materialism and our trust in money. It is an act of faith and worship to bring our first and give our best. Watch this, Proverbs 3:9, it says this, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all you produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I want you to write this down in your notes. The next blank is this. It requires faith to give first. Giving last doesn't require faith. And so you just heard me mention that our tithe and our in the way we handle it is the very first thing that goes out. So I'm not waiting till the end of the month to see if I have enough left to bring my tithe. No, I'm just bringing it to him and I'm trusting that he's going to see me through, because giving last doesn't require faith. We give first because, listen, that's exactly how God gave to us. Romans 5:8 says that God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we were good, right? Is that what it says? No, he sent Christ to die for us while we were still rotten, terrible, ugly, horrible people. He gave before we even believed. And so this morning, as we close, I want to issue a challenge for everyone here. Some of you may have tithed in the past, but for various reasons, you've just fallen off course. There are others here, maybe you've never tithed, but you're like, man, I really want this blessed life. I want all my needs to be met, and I just want to live at peace. And listen, I get it. Tithing can be a scary step because, listen, it doesn't make financial sense like in our human reasoning. And there are others here in this room, you're already tithing, and I just want to encourage you to make a recommitment to God to just continue. And so this is something that we've never done before at the Lifeway, but if you'd like to live a blessed life, if you'd like the opportunity to test God and receive what we've talked about, you know, this week and last week and what we're going to hit next week, if you'd like to see God provide all your need, if you'd like to see him enrich your life in every single way, in your service guide, there's a 90-day tithe challenge card. I want you to pull it out right now, and what I want to do is I want to encourage you to take the step of faith. In fact, I encourage you to fill it out, and I want you to test God. I want you to sign up for, you know, do it recurring giving or online, or you can do via text. You can even, some bring their tithe every single week, and they drop it in the giving kiosk. But here's the deal. Here's the challenge. If after you've tithed for the next 90 days, if God hasn't blessed your life, if God hasn't enriched you, you call me and we'll set up a meeting and I will write you a check and I'll give it back. All right? Test God. Test God. Test God. And you're going to find that he's faithful and he will do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask and think. with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning, no one looking around, the blessed test. Here's what I want you to hear this morning. God doesn't just want 10%. Yes, financially, yes, but when it comes to our lives, he wants all of us. As we talked about last week, he wants us to give our lives generously. That includes our time, our talent, our treasure to make a difference in this world. Because Jesus did that for you and me, and he did that and more. He gave his life so that he could pay the penalty, that he could pay the debt for the sins that you and I committed. And there are those here today that you need to accept that gift. You need to start the journey. You need to move towards Jesus, the gift of salvation. You need to make that step towards Jesus Christ and starting a new life in him. And so I believe that even though this was more of a teaching type lesson, I believe that there are some in this room that should take this opportunity right now to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, to put him first in every single way. The scripture says to repent, which simply means to turn from walking our own direction and to do an about face and move towards him. And so this morning, if you're ready to make that decision, if you're ready to step across the line and completely surrender your life to God, if you're ready to say, you know what, Jesus, save me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, I've been holding some things back from you, Lord. Today, I'm going to give you all of my life. I'm going to surrender and I give it to you with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, but if that's where you're at, I want to pray for you. And so if you're there, why don't you just lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. Hands going up all across this place. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make today. Your life will never be the same. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, today I give you my life. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you all the secret places. Lord, I just give it to you, Lord. My brokenness, I give it to you. The mess I've made, I turn it all over to you. And I ask you, Jesus, today to forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me, Jesus. Lord, thank you today for the blood that you shed for my life, that my sins would be washed away. Lord, thank you for giving me new life and for giving me a fresh start today, Jesus. Thank you for new life. Lord Jesus, I pray for everybody else in this room today. Lord, as your word went forth, Lord, your plan, Lord, I pray that you would give us faith, Lord Jesus, to move forward, that we would test you. Lord, that we would do the blessed test and that we would experience you in ways that we never thought possible. And so, Lord Jesus, I just pray that as there are some people that are going to take this step for the very first time today, Lord, I pray that you would just open the doors, open the windows of heaven like your word says, and that you would just pour out blessing in every single way. Lord, let marriages be blessed. Let relationships with children be blessed. Let careers be blessed, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I pray that you would just open all kinds of amazing doors. Lord, I pray that peace that passes all understanding would settle in homes and that fear would melt away and doubt would melt away and worry would melt away, Lord God, that we would be able to stand, Lord, fully trusting in you, Lord God, knowing that your word says, Lord God, that you have never left your children forsaking, Lord God, that your seed has never been begging for bread. And so, Lord God, we hold on to that promise, Lord God, and as we trust your plan, we say yes to your will and to your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org. or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.